We were still in this, I say a season, I don't know what this is. It's just a timing of God. This is not a series. This is a game changer. This is a life-changing moment. And we've been going through build this house, and we started, and I'm just telling you what, guys, God is shifting the direction and moving some things for God to begin to literally construct and build his home. Build this house so we can build this house to build that house. That God would come in and revive and resurrect and live in us. Last week we spoke on, Mama said, worry about yourself. Worry about yourself. And this week, I want to open up with the text in Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 8 in the NIV. And it says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Is it raining? Can I just tell you, I'm a mess, so y'all gonna have to bear with me this morning because the Spirit of God is sweet in this place. Says that person will be like a bush in wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heats come. Its leaves are always green, and it has no worries in a year of drought, and never fails to bear fruit. I believe that we as a church need to begin to redefine the terms by which we live. Just like Pastor Brandon spoke 2 weeks ago, that the church should not be the peripheral vision to the world. But the world should be the peripheral vision to the church. It's time we stop allowing the world to define how we function and how we move. We are to define the world with Jesus at the center. Today, we are going to redefine the terms. Today, we as Remnant Church, we are going green. We're going green. Let's reread the scripture. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see it when prosperity comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by a stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. What does going green mean for Remnant Church and people as a whole? I told you we're redefining the terms, so you better get out your head that I'm thinking going green and we're being organic and all the other stuff like that, because that's not what I'm talking about today. What does it mean? As you notice, in our logo, the choice of the color we chose was green. Green represents life, growth, harmony, safety, energy, fertility, the ability to reproduce. Green represents life, growth, harmony, safety, energy, fertility, the ability to reproduce. So here's what going green represents for you and I. That we would be full of life, growing consistently, personally, and in harmony with others. As we dwell in the safety of God, in doing so, he fills us with the energy we need to reproduce in his earth for his kingdom. Did you get it? Life, growth, harmony, safety, energy, fertility. That we would be full of life, growing consistently, personally, and in harmony with others. As we dwell in the safety of God, and in doing so, He fills us with the energy we need to reproduce in this earth for His kingdom. Going green is the ability to produce all year round. To produce all year round. But we cannot do this in our lives if we live as seasonal Christians. Seasonal. Seasonal means relating to or characteristic of a particular season of the year. A selection of seasonal fresh fruit. It means fluctuating or restricted according to the season or time of year. There are companies whose markets are only seasonal. You see, seasonal Christians only produce when it's the right climate for them emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Seasonal Christians only produce when it's the right climate for them spiritually, physically, and emotionally. And when these three terms are not aligned, they die off until the next perfect season comes. Until the next perfect moment when everything's perfectly fine, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. Seasonal Christians depend on everyone else to set the flow for them and determine their season they're in. They wait on everybody else to determine the flow. Yes, we have seasons. We do have seasons on this earth with the climate and the weather. And yes, we have seasons in life that we grow through with changes physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. But we were never meant to produce according to season, but according to our relationship with God. We were never meant to reproduce according to season, but with our relationship with God. According to who He is in us. According to how we live with Him and who we're living for. We're in Build This House, right? I'm just going to tell you, His house will never be fully built off seasonal help. It doesn't work that way. His house can never be fully built off seasonal help. You ever had a contractor or seen these commercials? There's one commercial that comes out, and it's a contractor, and they've hired him out, and he's like, I'll get back to that later. You know, and then it comes along, and it's a whole ad for an actual contracting business that will do, a construction business that will do things for right or whatever like that. You know, that's how God feels with us sometimes as we like start projects for His kingdom and get really well and think we're going to do this and go gung-ho, and then we quit and we leave a mess for other people around. And then what happens is God has to bring somebody in who's consistent and faithful to do the job to clean up what you've made a mess up because your seasonal help, right? And when the season's not perfectly right for you, then what happens is you just walk off the job. And the problem of it is the reason true homes in America aren't growing is because we as family have become seasonal. I'll love you when it works for me. You're my child when it works for me. You're my friend when it works for me. But if the atmosphere gets a little shaky and the season's a little rough and we're changing, then I'm out. His house will never be fully built off seasonal help. He needs full-time Christians who want to work and build up a pension and 401k in the heavenlies. Who reap the benefits of doing His business here on earth, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. When we have a true desire to build His house, we'll build this house because we'll begin to see a decline. See, when we have a true desire to build his house, we'll begin to see a true decline in fluctuation. And we'll begin to see steadiness come. This isn't Menards, Walmart, Casey's. This isn't Sears. We're not Black Friday in it all the time. This is Jesus Christ's home. You are a part of his family, and we are meant to build his house. We are not hiring seasonal help. Many of us are worried about not having jobs out in the world, but if you'd fulfill the job you have for his kingdom, maybe you'd have a job in the world. Think it's not true? It's true. If you aren't in the perfect will of the Father, following what he desires and what he's doing, he can never put you where you need to be in the correct seasons of life to move to his functioning. So you'll always be out of place, always be uprooting, always be moving, always be doing what needs to be done. And what happens is you are displaced. I don't care whether it's you need to go to school. I don't care whether it's you need to work full-time at home as a parent. I don't care whether it's you need to actually go get a job. Find your position in Christ and you'll find your position. This isn't just about economy and finding it outside. I'm talking about being able to function in a job on a daily basis to do correctly, to work correctly, to move correctly, and get things done in the earth for God's kingdom. It's our job to reproduce sheep. It's our job to reproduce sheep. Last week we talked about Jesus looked at Peter and he said, Peter, if you love me, then feed my sheep. Peter, if you love me, shepherd my sheep. And he was talking to Peter about turning into a shepherd and really loving on the people. But guys, I'm going to get in real, real with you for a minute. You ever seen a shepherd out in the field birthing sheep? Do sheep come out of the shepherd? Literally. You see a shepherd get down on the ground and start pushing and they pop out sheep? Does it happen that way? No, because guess what? Sheep reproduce sheep. And some of y'all are waiting on the shepherds just to draw people in and move it when God's just saying, if you just reproduce, people would be here. Reproduce. Start getting your functioning back as sheep and begin to reproduce your kind to do what was meant for the kingdom of God. And then the shepherd can oversee the birthing processes to make sure that you are okay and to make sure that the sheep are fine. Quit trying to be the chief and do what you need to do. Allow God to position his people where they need and just be a sheep and reproduce sheep. Build his house. We can't be seasonal. Ain't no mama in this room during those 9 months was like, I'm done with this season. Get it out now, y'all figure it out. I'm done with this season. I'm done with this moment. I don't want to do it anymore. You carry it. You do it. My time card only says like 8 to 2. That's it. When I'm done past that moment. Our church card only says, God, I got to come from 10:30 to like 12:30. Don't ask me to do anything else throughout the week. I'm just, you know, here for the moment. Like last Sunday, speaking on worry about yourself, this still remains true here. When we focus on our relationship with God in all seasons, we'll cultivate a spirit to reproduce. Because what you cultivate will culminate. What you cultivate will culminate. And the word culminate means whatever you continually work on and prepare to use will reach its highest potential. You're cultivating something, you're preparing it to get done and get worked, but to Culminate means to hit your highest potential. So what you cultivate, what you prepare and you work on consistently will then culminate and become to its highest potential to work fully for what its function was meant to be. We've got to cultivate the church. We've got to allow him to cultivate our hearts and our lives so that this home can be culminated to its highest potential, so that this home can be culminated to its highest potential. Galatians 5:22-26 says, but the fruit of the Spirit, in the NIV, says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its desires, passions, and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. When we cultivate these fruits, love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, same word, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When we cultivate these fruits, when we work on them and prepare them to be what they need to be in our lives for ourselves, they then reach their highest potential to spread and grow to others. When you continue to cultivate love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, they reach the potential to spread. I like how it says it in the message. I want to read this to you in the message. Same scripture. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way as the fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets its way and only gets in the way. Among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting our own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessities is killed off for good. It's crucified. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or sentiment in our hearts. See, that's where seasonal comes in, because we all love the idea of fall, summer, spring, winter, Christmas. Those are seasonal holidays, seasonal ideas. But when we don't treat Christ like a seasonal idea, like Easter and like Christmas and like vacation and like when things come in and we are just wanting a pick-me-up and to do for that exciting moment, but when we don't treat Christ as seasonal, it says we don't just hold it as an idea in our heads or sentiment in our hearts, but we work out its implications in every detail of our lives. That means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each one of us is original. That goes back to worry about yourself. Let God cultivate you so that he can culminate his fruits. How do we do this? How do we go green? How? How do we go green and continually reproduce all year long? Well, we go green when, number one, we stay in God's greenhouse. Number one, we stay in God's greenhouse. The purpose of a greenhouse is to shield crops from excess cold or heat and unwanted pests. A greenhouse makes it possible to grow certain types of crops year-round, and fruits, tobacco plants, vegetables, and flowers are what a greenhouse most commonly grows. When we live according to God and not the seasons, we live in what I like to call the greenhouse effect. meaning we allow him to be our shield and our protector when trials and temptations come our way. And that we choose to allow him to grow us no matter what the season may be in life. We stay in that shelter. We stay. Psalms 91. He who abides in the shelter of the Most High shall dwell and rest under his wings. Shall not fear the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly by day. They shall say of the Lord, he is my God. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. Dwells means to live there. Means to stay there. Means to live. And begin to move. We've got to stop treating the church as a carnival act or a circus that can come in and out. And move and do what it needs to do and put on a show so people can come in and buy a ticket to the kingdom. It's a greenhouse. It grows, it nurtures, it produces. It causes you to dig in and get a hold of sustenance and make you become something that is good for his purpose. The greenhouse allows the ability for consistent, here's your key words, y'all, consistent gardening. When you have a greenhouse, you can evade and ignore all weather conditions and season changes throughout the year. When you have people, when you see these greenhouses around, you have to realize that these farmers, these gardeners, when you have a greenhouse, you can ignore and evade all weather conditions and season changes throughout the year. Excessive rains, extreme temperatures, or long droughts will not cause any serious problems for the plants that you grow in your greenhouse. You acquire the flexibility you need to go ahead with any form of gardening. The greenhouse effect gives God the ability to form you to whatever he needs for you to be effective in his kingdom. All year round. It doesn't matter what weather may come your way, which means your storms, your trials, your tribulation, your droughts, your dry seasons, your moments where you don't feel him. It doesn't matter whether the season's changing and you're a summer flower and it's fall. You can still grow, honey. God wants to move in you in every season. You have to stay in his greenhouse. It's that effect that causes you to realize, yeah, I may get a little bit of brushed up, I may get a little bruised, I may get a little bumped, and that doesn't mean that those seasons aren't still going on, but I am safe in the shelter of the Most High. But it's consistent gardening. Consistency comes when we set aside complacency. Consistency comes when we set aside complacency. Complacency is being satisfied with one's own ability, causing them to keep from trying any harder. We've made it. We're good, God. Praise the Lord. It's good. We worship. It's great. We have a great time. We come when we want. We leave when we want. We don't got to worry about nothing. It's great. I mean, we're just fine, God, right here. It's good. We're growing great. Ain't got to worry about nothing. Why I gotta try to be better? I'm good the way I am. Consistency comes when we set aside complacency. Complacency, being satisfied with one's own abilities, causing them to keep from trying harder. This is why I believe that the church, that our lives, have you ever been at a moment in your marriage or a friendship or with your children or with your parents or with anybody in your life, you just feel like it's like, there's no happy shouts, no jumping jacks, and there ain't like I'm just dying over. It's just kind of, we're there. Like, I love you, and you love me, and I know you love me, and I know I love you, but we're just here. I don't know if I like you right now. I don't know if I care right now. We're here. And what happens is we get in these moments where we plateau. And it just goes like this. And then we're like, I just feel like I'm stuck in routine. Things aren't changing. But what happened to the consistency in your walk with Christ? Did it go like this? God, I praise you. You're so wonderful. Now that you got me saved and now that you got me out of debt and somebody else paid my bills off, but now that they're paid, God, I love you because my children are turning around and they're doing great today. I love you because they're listening today. But what happens when tomorrow? Instead of just waking every morning, I love you, God, no matter what comes today. I want to get in your word. I want to know who you are. And I want to dig my roots into this greenhouse, God, that you're going to shut these doors in right here and keep me from everything that's on the outside, no matter whether the storm comes and tries to shake and begins to move, no matter what's happening and my body wants to align and do things, I am still growing in your garden. And I can still produce fruit. I can still have things move. I notice that most of the time in any relationship, the reason we out is because we don't try anymore. Because we begin to become complacent on one side or the other. And it doesn't work that way. Because any good relationship takes work, takes gardening, takes effort, takes pruning, takes discipline, takes laughing, takes joy, takes love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Every good relationship requires all that. And Jeremiah 17, 5 through 6, it says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. You then become a tumbleweed, going everywhere. And let me tell you what, when the storm comes and a tumbleweed comes up and brushes against you, because I lived in Arizona, it hurts like crazy. It will scratch the crud out your legs. And don't try to just like pick them up and be like, oh, we're going to move. No. Like most of the time, you got to burn them and just get rid of them. And let me tell you something. When we live a complacent life, we live a life as a tumbleweed that it never knows where it's going and never is rooted. And we think we're producing fruit and we think we're an actual object. But you know what? Tumbleweeds are all dead. They're not even an actual object. They actually used to be something that was planted in the ground, but because they could never consistently get growing in there, they die and they go off. And because we name something in our life, sometimes we think that it has a place and we think we're trying on something when we're not really trying on anything. We're just living a dead life. Number two, walk in the authority you've been given. We go green by staying in God's greenhouse, and number two, walking in the authority you've been given. You guys realize it all started in the garden? He's been trying to say it a long time ago. Stay in the garden. Get yourself planted. Put your roots down. Find a home in me. Figure out what kind of plant you're going to be. Let me name you and have authority over you. Genesis chapter 2, we're going to go through Genesis just for a second. Chapter 2, verses 5 through 9, and then I'm going to 15 through 17. In the NIV, it says, now no shrub, y'all got to listen to this because God had me a mess. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, 11 through 12. It says, "Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit and seed in it, according to the various kinds." And so it was. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed and according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. But I want to go back somewhere for just a second. Back in chapter 2, when God is getting ready to create Adam, it says no shrub and no plant had grown. Nothing had begun to come up from the ground. We all think that what happened is there was just a star and Adam came up and it was great. How could have God formed Adam out of the dust if there was already so much vegetation and produce on the ground to fill it? He formed Adam from the dust, and he didn't even send any rain or anything to produce a seed, to produce fruit, until man came on the scene to be able to walk in authority to produce it. You can check the Bible if you want. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. Genesis chapter 1, 20 through 22, 24 through 30, going from above, it says, "And then God said, let the water teem with living creatures and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the creatures on the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird across to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water and seas, and let the birds increase in the earth. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to its kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds." Right now, I feel like I'm reading Dr. Seuss' book. 1 foot, 2 foot, 3 foot, all kinds. Yep. "And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and all, over all the creatures that move on the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth and to the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground. Everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. Do you realize in this whole part of Scripture that God only told Adam he had rule over the fish and the animals? And he did not allow the plants to produce until Adam was there to cultivate them and work on them. He never said, look at this, it goes back in Scripture. He made the seeds, but never once did he tell the seed to increase and be fruitful and multiply on their own. The only thing he told be fruitful and multiply and reproduce was the living creatures and the things. He created the seed and the plant to grow in the seasons and the things they were in to be food. He said every green plant to be food for what they needed. And he didn't allow it to come until Adam was placed in, because God realized that he needed somebody to cultivate the seeds on this earth. God realizes with you that he needs someone to cultivate the seeds in this earth, to begin to work on them and prepare them and help grow them and to help make them become something that is great for his kingdom so that they can become food. Do you realize that God created you as he talks to us about a seed and how we can grow and move? Do you realize God created you so that you can be food to others? What are they eating? Are they eating love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control? Are they eating anger, bitterness, frustration, rage, malice, lust, envy, greed, selfishness, pride? Are they eating those things? It was Adam's job to prepare them and bless them. It was his job to bless the fruit from the work that he gave. See, it was always meant for the fruit of the Spirit. See, if Adam had the fruit of Jesus Christ in him, because God made him from the dust, breathed into him the life and the life-giving thing, so the fruit of the Spirit led Adam before he was ever led by the fruit of this world. Right? Because nothing had come about yet. It was always meant for the fruit of the Spirit to lead the fruit and reproduction of the earth. Nothing with seed could reproduce until man came on the scene. Some of us keep crying out for God to send rain on our situation and season, but maybe, just maybe, he can't send the rain because he knows you aren't capable to care for what he reproduces. He did not send rain on the earth till Adam was in the garden to care for what was being reproduced. It was never meant for us to have zoos and all this other kind of crazy stuff that we have. And yeah, we like to go look and things. But all livestock and all the things were meant to live in a life cycle to care for themselves. Jesus Christ looks at us as if you abide in the vine and rest in me and care in me. Jesus Christ is the vine. He's the true gardener. And he wants us to tend his garden. He wants us to build his house. See, man lost his authority over the seed when he allowed the seed to have authority over him. When he took a bite of that fruit, he allowed the circumstances of life to dictate his season. And instead of the fruit of the Spirit ruling over the seed of the season, the seed of the season ruled over the man. If you allow the world to rule your heart, you will always be a seasonal Christian. If you allow the world to rule your heart with its seeds and you keep eating of it, you will always be a seasonal Christian. What you keep allowing into your life, things that keep you from setting good examples for Christ, things that are not good, that you should not have. Let me go here. Just even the simplicity of foul language or things that we should not. Do you ever see those words? And I'm just going to be real. The only time we ever see ass in the Bible is when he called a donkey it. So let's just get it out of our language, okay? And it's only in the King James Version, people. Right? Y'all look at me like I'm crazy, but why is it okay that I can say the true word and meaning of what it was here in church, but everybody else can cuss around you, and some of you all can say whatever you want outside? I will not allow the seeds of this world to dictate who I am and to dictate how I live, to dictate where I go, and try to make exclusions. Well, this is okay and this isn't okay. No, read your word. Let it be the map to who you are. Let it dictate where you go. Let it tell you how to grow. You will never be consistent if you live complacent. The earth is just crying out right now. You wonder why we got global warming and all the weird stuff going on in the earth right now? It's because the earth is crying out for man to just take his true place and be led by God to reproduce. We aren't tending. You wonder why our seasons are all jacked up? It's because we of man have lost care for the fruit and the things, and we've let it run us. We let it overtake our gardens of our hearts, and we let it rule us. And we're struggling trying to find out, is it spring? Is it summer? Is it winter? Is it winter? Is it, what is it? What is it right now? What's going on? I don't know. I don't have a clue. And what's sad is in your heart, you're still saying the same thing. What season am I going through right now? Is it winter? Is it summer? Do I need to put on my sweater in my heart and keep myself from being dictated by everybody else? Because I don't want anybody to brush up against me. What's happening in here? Because what's happening in here is being seen out there. We have to walk in the authority God gave us. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, in the Amplified, it says, Jesus came up to them and said, all authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Help them. Help the people to learn from me. Believe in me and obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstance and on every occasion, even to the end of the age. Right here, right at this moment, Jesus restored our authority in him through death, burial, and resurrection. Right in this moment, he said, I'm going to give you back the ability to rule the seed. Right in this moment, I'm going to give you the ability to not allow the world to dictate you anymore. Right at this moment, I'm telling you one more time, bear fruit and reproduce. Go reproduce. Go reproduce. We must choose to walk in it. We have the ability to produce his fruit all year round, guys. Can't tell me that, because he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide under the wings of the Almighty. It's time we say we're going green. It's time we say we're going green. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. Again says, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Remember, a true home is never made out of seasonal help. It's time to build this house, to build his house, and build this house and be full-time help. Remnant Church is going green. Guess what, guys? You're probably going to begin to see it on taglines, maybe cards to hand out. Remnant, we're going green. Because we decide today, go ahead and stand to your feet. We decide today. We decide today. To make a decision to put off complacent living and be consistent in his greenhouse. To allow him to tend and form to us what he needs. To not allow the seed of the world to rule over us, which was the first seed ever. Anytime you ever bury a seed, it has to go in the ground. Adam was created out of the dust. It was in the ground. It came from the ground and it began to sprout up and be what it needed to be. We were the first seed. And God wants us to realize that we don't have to be dictated by the seasons in life. Quit allowing everything else on the outside of your life. Choose how you respond, how you act, and the way you live for just a moment. today, we are going green. We choose to produce all year long. We choose to allow our roots to go deep. We choose to allow to be planted. We choose to allow Him to come in. If there are those of you in this room today, and I'm going to be very blunt and honest, but you know you've been living your life more a seasonal help than full-time help for God's kingdom. I'm just being honest. That you know you have allowed seasons to dictate the way you respond, where you do, how you get planted, how you're rooted, where you go, and the fruit that you produce. If you know that for sure, and you know that you've been seasonal, these altars are open. I want you to come to the front. If you know you've been seasonal, that you've just momentarily for the season, maybe you're in a winter, and so what's happened is that winters begin to define the way your tree looks and the way you look because you feel like everything's dead. You feel like everything's lost. And it's not growing correctly. And let me tell you something. Don't think that just because you're admitting that you are a seasonal help means that we're all looking at you like we knew that you weren't helping out. No, what's awesome about it is you're actually making a stand to say, I'm going to be full-time and come do something for the kingdom now. I'm enlisting. I volunteer. I volunteer for you, Christ, to do what you want in my life. I volunteer to allow you to grow me and to cultivate me and to make me what you want me to be in every season. I choose not to be dictated by the winter when all the leaves are falling and the cold harshness comes. I choose not to be dictated by the spring when I just want beautiful flowers to represent who I am in life. I choose not to be dictated by the summer when the high heats come and I feel like I'm so thirsty for a drink constantly. I choose not to be dictated by the fall when different colors come in and the wind begins to blow and the rains begin to come. But I choose to go green all year long. I choose to get in your greenhouse. I choose to stand with you and allow you to move over me. For those of you that are up front, what I want you to do is I want you to put your hands up. And I want you to begin to ask God that anything that's in you, just let Him begin to search you. Just let Him begin to search you. Just let Him begin to search you.